This message was preached at the Lagos Convocation with the theme, Revive Your Body, between the 18th to 21st October 2017 at the Missy Training and Retreat Center along Marylebone River Road in Mon. For further inquiries and this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Navi Plaza, number 19 Mayero Road, opposite Zipta Model Schools, Narai High Cost Street. Telephone numbers 0703-456-8035, 0805-845-5719, email thepreciousteam@yahoo.com, website www.preciousteam.org.ng.
Father, we thank you. Thank you because it will be great in heaven when all tribes, all tongues, different races and colors will gather around the throne singing, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory, alleluia. Glory, alleluia. Glory, alleluia. Praise the Lord. What the Lord worthy, worthy in the Lamb, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, gloria, alleluia, glory. Can you just wave your hand to the Lamb? The Lamb that was slain. It's because of him that we're here. Praise the Lord. One more time, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. That was glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we lift up our two hands to worship you. We confess that you are the worthy one, the Lamb that was slain, to redeem us and to make us kings and princes unto our God, and to bring us into this family where we are not just perching, but we are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Thank you because in this great family there is no tribe, no tongue. There is no race, there is no educational standard or anything. All there is Christ, and he is all in all and available to all. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I ask that this night, O God, as we continue to look at the body of Christ, that you will revive your body. That you will bring life back to your body. That all our fragmentation shall be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And that from here, O God, the love of Christ will be shared abroad in our hearts. We will love you, we will love your people. We will love the body of Christ. We'll be ready, O God, to lay down our lives to serve your church and to see her built up and brought to our glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Shout hallelujah. One more hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. In the morning, in continuation of our cry, revive your body, we began to study as briefly as we could on the matter of the body of Christ, the church. We will not repeat what we said because you can always go back to it as you get the recorded instructions, so that we can gain more time tonight to move on. But one of the things we noted is that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It is upon this rock that he said, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. We noted that because it is in him, and it is by him and through him, that we are all connected together. One of the critical revival that the body of Christ is looking for and we are praying is the centrality of Christ and him crucified. Preaching Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him what? Crucified. I determined to talk about nothing, to be conversant about nothing, and to be excited about nothing among you, except that Christ and him crucified has taken his place in your heart. We also longed, as we looked into the Word of God, we also saw that for the church to be revived, for the body of Christ to be revived, every hand that is seeking ownership to tear the body of Christ apart, God will help us and they will lose their grip, so that the body can flow and can be that which God is planning for. But tonight, I would like to begin to look at what is God's intention for building his church? What is God's purpose for the church on earth? What exactly does the church exist for on the face of the earth? Maybe if we begin to understand what that purpose is all about, we will understand why the enemy is fighting tooth and nail to make sure that the body of Christ does not stand and does not fulfill our mandate, and rather than face the purpose for which he has been established, get engaged and entangled with so many other irrelevant issues. So tonight, I'll be looking at revive your body. Revive, restore unto us the purpose, the rationale, and the divine expectation for building your church on earth. Part of what I'm trusting God that will begin to characterize the revival for which we have been laboring and waiting on God and praying is that the body of Christ will assume and enter its fundamental role on the earth. And if that happens, the church becomes unstoppable in bringing about God's divine purpose. Praise the Lord. I would like you to please go back again to the passage I began to look at in the morning, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And I would like us to look at it more deliberately, and then we shall go from there, looking at various other issues. You know, in Matthew 16, we read verse 17, verse 18, verse 19 up to 20. But for this evening, I will be focusing on verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18 and verse 19. Are you there with me? Right. And I say also unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You remember that as we read this passage, I went back to look at Isaiah chapter 28. And in Isaiah 28, we saw God responding unto the scornful men who are taking it upon themselves that they were going to rule the people of God even in Jerusalem. They have boasted. They said, ye scornful men that rule these people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him, he that believeth, shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be dishonored, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Now I said, God's answer unto the oppression of the power of darkness, that saying they have made covenant with death, and that with agreement, I mean with hell are they at agreement. God's response, I have made in Zion for a foundation a stone, a precious stone, a tried stone, a sure foundation. And when we saw Jesus Christ coming, he also announced, he said, look, upon this rock, upon this sure foundation, I will build my church. And you will see immediately, he said, and the gates of hell shall not do what? Shall not prevail against it. In the book of Luke, chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus Christ was calling men to himself, He made an announcement, and I want you to look at it also before I tie the passages together. In Luke 14, now you are familiar with Luke 14. If you have been coming along, learning about the cost of discipleship. And in verse 25, the Bible said, there went great multitude with him. And he turned and he said unto them, Luke 14, 25, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now look at verse 28, 29, 30, 31, up to 32. For which of you, intending to do what? To build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have what is sufficient to finish it. Let happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he will be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desired condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now you will be surprised. What is the essence of this discussion that Jesus Christ brought? What is he talking about here? This will be the third passage that we are touching tonight in order to trace what is the determinate purpose of God for wanting to build his church. What does God want to build the church for? What's the purpose? What does the church exist to do on earth? What is the divine purpose of God for establishing and building his church? Now, again, this passage raises a very critical issue. You remember that as I was ending in the afternoon, I said, and this building that he's talking about is not built with mortar and bricks. With what will this building be built? Living stones, lively stones. Where are the lively stones? Touch one lively stone, let me see. Aha. It is men and women that he has recruited from the life of sin that he is putting together and building into a building, a holy temple in the Lord. We read that in the afternoon. But we said that just like we had a shadow of this building in what Solomon was to build. You know, God, even after Solomon finished, the verdict was that God does not dwell in houses built, you know, with hands. That actually, as magnificent as that building was, that was not where God wants to dwell. Where does God want to dwell? He wants to dwell in the heart of men and in the building that is building. We're going to see that again in the Word of God. And this will form what is the divine purpose for the body of Christ, as I'm trusting that there will be a revival of it. Now, the Lord Jesus again began to announce here why people were asking, why are you so strict about the kind of people that can be your disciple? Why are you so intense about the kind of people that can be your disciple? And I want all of you to hear me very well. Maybe some people are thinking that discipleship or being disciples is a special thing that not all believers must become. Maybe somebody is sitting here and say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a disciple. What's a serious confusion. I want to quickly say to you that actually, when he was sending them forth to go into all the world, what did he say they should go and do? Go and make disciples of all nations. If you are not a disciple, I dare say to you, you are not a Christian. Hey, that would be too hard, Abby. I want to tell you that if you are not his disciple, you are not one of his. Because all that God is looking for are men and women who share the very kind of life of Christ to use in building this holy temple, this building that we are talking about. And so when he began to recruit men, people were asking, why are you so sick? Why is your condition so tough? If any man come to me and does not hate his father. Some people want us to make it a little more easier to say, and he does not love me more than his father. It looks nice. But what Jesus said is what he has said. That if you will not come to a point where if any man will stand between you and following him, you are ready to cut it off as if you have hated them completely. And he said, even your own life also, your personal convenience. If a man does not hate his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, these are relationships that are so precious that you don't want to let go. But in order to belong to Jesus, they become secondary. They come behind. They become leftover relationships. And what has reduced the power of the church is that there are many people that we have admitted into church membership who did not meet this condition. So when I'm saying, oh Lord, revive thy body, revive thy body, part of my own cry, Lord, review the membership. Check out all those who have no commitment to Christ, who are only muddling things up in our midst. Lord, in your visitation, let the sinners in Zion, let fear of God catch them. As you will visit your church, oh God, let the hypocrites in the sanctuary, let them melt and run away. If there is going to be revival, oh hypocrites, like Ananias and Sapphira, you know what happened to them? God was protecting membership of his body. God was making sure that those who bring contamination and thereby bring weakness and bring leakages into his building, that he extracts them. And the Bible said, even though God was adding to them daily those who were to be saved, yet nobody dared to join themselves to them. If you are not serious, if you are not ready to let go, if you are not ready to live in holiness, you have no business being in the church. So when we are asking, revive your body, revive your body, revive your body, we are not talking about make us more noisemakers. Revival is not because we are going to get more money, or we are going to get more gadgets and begin to do disco. When God will revive his church, God will review the membership. God will flush out all the things that are shakable, so that the things that cannot be shaken might remain. Every time revival comes, and the kind we are praying for, the revival that brings the freshness of the life of God and of the presence of God upon his people, and the fear of God comes back into the land. So Jesus Christ was setting it there, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And they are saying, so why are you so strict? Why do you need this kind of people to belong to become your disciples? And I just have said a matter here, that all that Jesus said we should go and do in this world as we go into Great Commission is to do what? Is to make disciples. One of the things that God had to revive in his church is to revive the Great Commission. That the kind of people that can represent his purpose on earth, they are first and foremost those who have already died to themselves, who have already said bye-bye to the world, and they have carried the cross, both on their convenience and upon the world system around them, and they have decided to do nothing but to follow Jesus and cling to him and become wholly conformed to him, both in life and in everything they do. So he said, for which of you, I want all of you to please look at this, it's important, which of you intending to do what? To build a tower. Now, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. One of the troubles that we are crying for God to bring revival, I want all of you to hear me, is the fact that he has laid the foundation. Has God laid the foundation? Said, behold, I laid the foundation in Zion, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone, a sure foundation. Has God laid that foundation? Is there any problem with the foundation? God's foundation standeth sure. And he has a seal. And I saw also that having laid the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus himself, he also got the apostles and the prophets, those of themselves who had followed in this principle of life, and they also became the foundations on which the church was to be built. And I want to ask you, were they correct foundations? You are not talking to me again. Were the apostles correct foundations? Did they show us exactly what kind of church the Lord Jesus wanted to build? Did you notice that all of them, They were disciples indeed. All of them, they left father, they left mother, they left land, they left houses. They said, Lord, we have left all and we have followed you. And that was true. And for you to know that even when they also began to preach, when they began to speak the word of God, listen, they did not short measure the truth. Imagine that Peter will stand up and say, repent, every one of you, and be what? Be converted. The preaching of conversion, the preaching of repentance from dead works, from sin, he said, and separate yourself from this untoward generation. They preach separation from the world system as part of the foundation. And can I tell you that everything he taught them, they taught. So the Bible said the people, they were steadfast in what? I thought you are following me. They were steadfast in what? In the apostles' doctrine. They sat down to learn the word of God. When genuine revival will come, you will see that men will sit down, not to dance, but to learn the word of God and commit themselves to the word of God. Every revival is a renewed obedience to the word of God. Do you know that as they sat down and the apostles were teaching exactly what they were taught and what they themselves have practiced, something began to happen. The Bible said, let's read it. This is a digression, but we are coming back to it. Read Acts chapter 2 very quickly and Acts chapter 4. Just for you to see what the foundation looked like which God has laid. I'm trusting that even this meeting, the Holy Spirit will breathe upon it and release me and you into something that will turn our generation about in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you there? Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear did what? Came upon every soul. The fear of God came upon every soul in the community. Even those who have not yet repented, the fear of God was ruling everywhere. And the Bible said, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed, were what? Were together. Undivided. They were together. And had all things common. You will see the Bible saying, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church once a month. Eh? When did God add to them? Daily. Such as could be saved. So what are we talking about? There was daily increase. There was daily expansion, daily growth. And they did nothing. No publicity. Hallelujah. No showmanship. Nobody was doing anything different. They were only doing one thing. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast. In fellowship, they were steadfast in breaking of bread and in prayers. And as they were doing this, the fear of God came upon every soul. Men began to recognize that something is here. We dare not touch it anyhow. Let me find out from you. Is there the fear of God in our land again? You are not asking me. Is there the fear of God even inside our church? Even church, is there fear of God anymore? What do we find? We find men who are so bold, unconverted souls. They are inside church, ruling the church. If a preacher should preach something that they don't like, they make their eyes like this and say, we will deal with it. And they are bold enough to come on the pulpit and stand and say, excuse me, Pastor so-and-so, you have overstepped your boundary here. And the church will vote the man of God out. And they will accept wicked men. And they are claiming to be the members. Because they are the ones that brought zinc to roof the church. Where is the fear of God when the man of God, pastor, is sleeping inside church office with one of the choir members? And he tells her, you see, that's how the anointing flows. And he comes on the pulpit and he's still preaching and shouting. And where's the fear of God when somebody boldly, without shame, put away his wife? And he still come on the pulpit and say, yes, he has just described that he and his wife of 20 years, they are not compatible. So he has put her away and he's going to marry another person. And everybody clap for him. Where is the fear of God? Some of you thought it was just that's how it's happening now. No! It is because those that you are calling members, they have not encountered Jesus. They are not his disciples. So when we say, revive thy body, we are saying, oh God, review the membership. Do you believe God will do what I'm asking him to do? That the fear of God may be restored. You know, I asked you to read a passage that looked strange yesterday, Isaiah 33, verse 14. Will anybody read it again for us? Will you read it again before I return back here? I've not finished what I'm doing here, and I'm just opening all of these windows because we're going somewhere with it. Isaiah 33, if you have a good microphone or a good voice, can we ask you to read verse 14 up to verse 15.
Isaiah 33, verse 14.
Yes.
Living Bible. The sinners among my people shake with fear. Which one of us, they cry, can live here in the presence of this all-consuming, everlasting fire? I will tell you who can live here. All who are honest and fair, who reject making profit by fraud, who hold back their hands from taking bribes, who refuse to listen to those who plot murder, who shut their eyes to all enticement to do wrong.
Did you see that? What we have read there is not different from Psalm 15. Do you remember Psalm 15? Who shall ascend to the holy hill? The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness are surprised. The hypocrites Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting bodies? He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppression. But you see, as we are talking now, so many people are doing businesses and they are only coming here to pay tithe with the gains of oppression. Several people, they have lost the fear of God. And they can rob to come and sing, or rob to come and officiate, when they have only put hypocrisy under their clothes. But in those days, when the foundation of the church was being laid, it was laid on the apostles' doctrine. And the Bible said, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed, they were together. They had all things common. I said they didn't do anything else apart from the word of God that was breaking their hearts, changing their lives, and bringing them back unto what God longed for. That's how the foundation was laid. Go to chapter 4 of Acts and see how the Bible reported what was happening among them. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Chapter 4. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? With boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things how common. And they were multitude. Some people say, well, you know, because we are too many, that's why we cannot be one in our heart. It's not true. I can tell you what caused it. Is that the teaching of Jesus Christ, the centrality of what he has told us to do, was no more central in what we are doing. That's why our hearts are scattered. And if I say, Lord, revive thy body, revive thy body, all I'm asking for is that God will reveal again what is it that entered the midst of God's people that has now brought us into the conflict, confusion. Why are there brothers who are strong and they are looking for their own self-interest, wanting to place their name, wanting to possess, because they did not come in correctly? Jesus said, whosoever ye be of you that does not deny self, say no to himself, forget himself, he cannot be my disciple. Now we have many people in church who have never understood what it means to be dead to self. Actually, we actually promoted their self. We did self-promotion for them to come in. They came here, nobody has ever confronted them and said, you will die to yourself here. They were never told. In fact, they were decorated and they were lifted up. They were given a big title. A man who has never experienced death to self, he has been given a position, a title, and he is a leader. That's what brought the church to where it has come. That's why some people are boasting. That's why even when you came to receive what you are calling the Spirit, it was only to enhance yourself, to brag about yourself. When you sing a small song, you like everybody to know that you are in charge of that song. If you pray for something like this, oh, it must be on the television. Because the kind of men that God said he will use to build this strong tower is not the kind that we have gathered. And if God is going to bring revival and it's going to be genuine, this revival must touch the membership. It must deal with all the stones that we are gathering for this building. It must do something inside so that his purpose will not be defeated. Let me finish reading that so that I can go to where I'm coming from. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things all common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the feet, at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, brother, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why has Satan filled your heart, Ananias? Did you see how the word of God was preached in those days? You are not hearing me. Somebody brought money. Good money. He danced forward, he danced backward to lay it at the feet of the man of God. The man of God is not interested in the money. He's interested in the heart. And as the man was dancing and coming, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Peter saw into the heart. He said, I can see Satan filling this man's heart. And it was Satan that filled his heart to come and lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. What it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? We have never compelled anybody to give. We have never levied anybody here. They never levied anybody. The way money came was nobody promoted or free. They only lend the word of God. Whosoever be of you that does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. That's all they were teaching. Nobody was going up and down and saying, what of your own contribution? No! When the word of God was properly taught, money was not a problem for the work of God. But once the church deviated from the truth, everything else went wrong. And it's now appearing as if we just have to follow this worldly method of doing the work of God in our generation. And it is now looking as if, if we don't do this, if we don't promote it, if we don't tell them that good measure and all of that, that nobody will give. And that's why so many gimmicks, so many people who have no business preaching the gospel, who should have been in the market selling otapiapia. They are now here. They claim to be promoting offering, and you hear their language. You know that these men have not been circumcised. You know that these men have no business coming on the word of God at all. But because they have good mouths, sugar-coated mouths, we bring them to come and do motivational speaking and confuse people with empty psychology. Revive your body, O God. Review our membership. Review our methodology. Review the teaching that is coming over your people. Now listen to me. This is because the body of Christ has a purpose to fulfill on earth. And if the stones, the lifeless stones that God wants to use, are not properly prepared, we cannot get the kind of strong building that the master wants to build. And when Ananias, after it was told, was he not in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Nobody pushed him. Nobody cursed him. I hear preachers standing up and say, I will curse you if you don't bring your offering here. As he stood up, the Bible said, and Ananias, hearing these words. So what kind of words come out of our own pulpit that thieves, they just put their hand in the pocket and they shake hand even with the man of God and they go? That's the revival we are praying for. Before we will see the fear of God fall on the community, before we will see the glory of God break forth in our land, in our nation, God will thoroughly purge its law. All the things that can be burnt has to be burnt with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And all things that were not part of it, were not planted by God, all the chaff that have entangled with the work of God in our day. When we say, revive thy church, O God, we are saying, Lord, send the fire that purges your floor. I don't know whether you are really agreeing with these prayers we are praying. You are saying, oh God, everything you did not plant that has tried to join your work, reveal them and burn them out in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I'm hearing you say amen, I hope you are saying, oh God, even if it is me, even if it is me causing confusion in your church, bringing weakness to the body of Christ, introducing hypocrisy, bringing a little leaven that has leavened the whole lump, even if it is me, oh God, it's better for you to either change me or extract me so that your church can go on. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and gave up the ghost. And again, what did the Bible say? And great fear came on all them that had these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Nobody made a big noise about it. They just knew that here, you don't misbehave with the word of God. Are you going to pray with me and say, Lord, let it come. Oh Lord, we pray you, let the star of blessing fall. I am waiting, I am waiting. Oh, revive the heart of all. The church is not a playground where hypocrites and sinners They come to display their talents. Where Jezebels are now on the center stage. They are like the mother of the church. Sometimes, dangerous words are used. This is the first lady of this ministry. Who told you like that? If she's a genuine Christian sister, she will fall down. If she has denied her, and she's taking the cross and death as occurred in her heart, how can she accept that kind of thing? And you are sitting down there as if you are planning to kill yourself. You are longing for that kind of honor. The fear of God is no more with you. You come on this pulpit where the fire of God you burn, you come in with dead things. You are standing out there doing all kind of mannerisms that heaven is saying, who is this Jezebel here? Where is he coming from? Why is he boasting like this? And my people are keeping quiet, clapping for this kind of thing. And you know, I'm not talking about external dressing. That's not the issue. I'm talking about hearts that tremble before God. Hearts that seek nothing but to glorify God. Hearts that are quaking, contrite and broken spirit, and say, oh God, let nobody see me but see Jesus. But we have come to a time when, even if a preacher was not properly introduced, that is, that they did not remember to mention all his appellations, he stood up and said, there's a mistake in this church. There's a mistake. What is the mistake? Address me properly. And you all think that that is normal. You all imagine that that is the kind of church that God is waiting for in heaven. No, sir. No, sir. But he will rise. He will visit this vineyard. And it was about the space of 3 hours after. And I was looking at a fellowship that started in the morning. The word of God was going on. The brethren were attentive. When Ananias came and he fell down before their eyes, and young men just stood and said, what do we do? Go and bury him, please. And they carried him out and buried him. And 3 hours after, the fellowship is still on. When will God visit us again? When will God descend and his presence will dominate the whole atmosphere? That nobody is looking at anything else. They are only excited to be with God, to stay in his presence, and to learn the truth. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which are buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. Then fell she down straight away at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Verse 11. What was the Bible saying? And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. We cannot separate revival from the fear of God. Even in the later days, when we talk about John Wesley's revival, when we talk about Chastini, when we talk about men that God used, oh my God, go and enter the meeting, you see fear of God gripping the hearts of men. Fear of God. Fear of God. You couldn't just go and misbehave yourself. The Spirit of God will arrest you. Let it come, O Lord, we pray you. Return to us, O God, and turn us again, and make your face to shine, and we shall be saved. All of you that love God, all of you that love His appearing, all of you that are seeking the divine visitation of God in our time, in our generation, I want you to cry with me. Let it come, O God. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, did you see that? Verse 13. And of the rest, does no man join himself to them? But the people, what did they do? Oh, when revival comes, the church will no longer be a reproach. Now, I hope when you are passing by, you can understand the big reproach that the church has become. Eh? A brother was talking to me the other day, and he was passing through immigration in one of the countries, and the immigration stopped him, and he told them that I'm a preacher. Do you know what the immigration man said consistently? Where is your shop? He said, did you hear that I told you that I'm a servant of God and preaching the gospel? He said, forget that. Where is your shop? Where is your business center? The reproach that has come upon the church, to the point that if you go somewhere and you introduce yourself as a man of God, you are now the first suspect. Did anybody magnify the church again? Some of you don't understand that it's a shame. Your church is making heavy noise every time. I don't know why you have to put your loudspeaker to disturb people in the environment. And their cousins say, all these noisemakers. All these noisemakers. God punish them. Because you don't let people sleep in the night. Only 5 of you or 10 of you are doing IVG or whatever, and you are all shouting into the microphone. What is the meaning of that? You have lost a sense. You care not for the feelings of the people around. Instead of God's glory to be magnified upon our heads, we have become a reproach. The Christians have been taken for granted in our time. It didn't matter if they came around us, molested us, they knew nothing would happen. They don't fear our God because ourselves, we don't fear our God. The Lord will visit His people. You see what God was doing? But the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitude, both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and lay them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing forth sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. That's the kind of thing that happened. Nobody had a camp for demons. You know, in our own days now, you go for deliverance and you are there for 21 days. Sometimes there is a camp where you are staying, where demons, and the man of God is going every morning supervising and say, you, give him a beating there. And they are beating your head with stick. And I wonder, where did Jesus ever practice that? Maybe you think I'm just talking. No, I'm crying. Because it doesn't matter what is the name of that congregation. It is the church. All of us are rubbish together. Because there's one body. We can't separate it. If you understand that we are one body, we can't separate it. The reproach of one is the reproach of us all. You will cry. When I hear someone say, well, they don't belong to our church. That's why they are doing like that. Does unbeliever know? Do they know the difference? Church is church. All of us are together. Don't think you will escape from this reproach if God does not visit all of us together. That's why it's not the question, that's their own. This is our own. There's nothing like that. We are all in the same soup. Now, return to the passages I started dealing with. And I only came here to show you that foundation was laid. Correct foundations have been laid. The right kind of materials were used at the beginning. And so Jesus said in chapter 14 of Luke that we were reading. And can you follow me quickly back there? The way the time is always running from me. I don't like it. Alright, no problem. For which of you intending to do what? To build a tower. What does God want to build? What does He want to build? He wants to build a tower. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. God's intention is to raise a people that will be a standard for the whole world. God's intention is that the church that He was going to build will be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Will be a city set upon a hill that anywhere you go, you will see it and it will give you direction. So he kept saying to them, you are the light of the world. The church is supposed to be the light shining that the darkness of this world cannot comprehend. If you enter the heart of the Savior, He was looking for a church that would be a tower. A tower of deliverance, a tower of safety. Say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are what? They are saved. Unfortunately, that building seemed to have been stopped. The glory with which it started. And this is what we are crying about tonight. I want you to join me. Even if I don't have time to go on again, I will just sue for your prayer. I'll just ask you to come with me into the presence of God in prayer. I know God will answer us. Now, look at it. He said, whether you will have what is sufficient to finish it. The concern of the master is not just starting. What is his concern? The finishing. Finishing. The reason why we are crying for revival is that the church must not finish in shambles. When I'm looking at what I'm crying about, you will understand. Maybe you don't know. Thank God that in Nigeria we are building big churches, big cathedrals, and we are all smiling. Even though we are no longer teaching what could have sustained the purpose of God, we are only looking for numbers. We say, let them come anyhow. Let all those who can change their wives anytime, let them just come. If you have money, you have it. We are doing all of that, not knowing that what we are dealing with, we are destroying a very serious foundation. Now, when you go away from here, and it's already coming to us, that's my trouble. You go out there, you go to Europe, you go to United Kingdom, you go to US. This is where church used to be strong. It was where the constitution of their country was actually based on the Bible. Somebody said, when you go into the House of Parliament in the UK, you will see their floor, where they make law, you see an inscription of the Bible. As if to say, this parliament is sitting upon the Word of God. That's a place where both the king and the church, they walked with one accord. But as I'm talking to you now, those wonderful cathedrals, some have been bought, some have become supermarkets, some have become a tourism center because nobody is there. But worst of all, several have become mosques. And it's a shame that even what ordinary animal will not do, you can never see a male dog sleeping with a male dog. Have you ever seen that? You will never see a female chicken climbing another chicken that is female. It has never happened. Animals know their boundary. But now, and these people that are doing this, they said they must be ordained in the church. And they are so happy to come and officiate. Men marrying men inside church. Islam will never do that. How did we fall to a point that our sense of decency has disappeared from us? Why should it even be an argument at all? It's so painful that those who are now priests in several of these places are compelled to officiate something contrary to their conviction. And somebody is not ashamed to wear the clerical dress and still announce himself as one of the men who are promoting, not that he's promoting himself, is one. And he's still clinging to the pulpit. When will the fear of God descend? When will God, the consuming fire, when will he manifest himself? When the devouring fire of the Spirit of God, when will he consume sin from the sanctuary? So when we say revive your body, We're not just making empty talk. We're saying, Lord, it is time, O God, for you to visit Zion. Men have made void your law. It's so shameful to me to discover that the Christianity, the church, has no stand anymore. But the master said, will you not sit down? That's why he was insisting on the kind of disciples, because they are the lively stone by which this building will be built. You all know what I'm talking about. All the building engineers here and the architects, they understand. They understand that when you are making blocks, there's a particular mix. Am I right? They said 39 inches or 25 inches out of one bag of cement with a proper mix of the correct sand. If somebody, instead of doing 25, he went and produced 40. As you are building, what happens? The thing will be cracking. In fact, if you just do your leg like this, the thing will just scatter. And so when such a building has been raised, suddenly you hear that a disaster has happened and that a six-story building has collapsed. What is the problem? The strength of the material. And Jesus is saying, a man wants to build a tower. Does he not sit down for whether what I'm having can do what I want? Because God wants to build the church to be a tower. In any community, the church should be the tower. And I'm not talking about what our fathers did in those days where when they are building their cathedral, they now put one tower on top so that wherever you enter, you just know that church building is somewhere here. It was wonderful, but that was not what the master wanted. God wanted his people to tower above all men in the community. They will tower in holiness, in righteousness. They will tower in truth. When you are looking for probity and integrity, no one can bypass them. They are on the tower. When you are looking for reliable men in government, they will be on top. But must I open my mouth to talk about the reproach that our brothers in government have brought to the church? Eh? Should I talk about that? The reproach that those who claim to be Christians, you are the one say, they are not born again Christians, they are not born again Christians. Does the world know that? You are not answering me. Why did you call them Christians first if they are not born again? Why were they our members if they were not born again? How did they become members? Who baptized them? Who christened them? When Jesus Christ said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He did not say there will be some Christians who are born again, there will be some Christians who are not born again. If you are not born again, you are not a Christian. Tell somebody like that. Yes. And you are not our member. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot enter. You can't enter the kingdom, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised. You must be born again. That was the language. That was the message. How did we expand the narrow way that has included everybody? And we thought that we are doing good service to God by just bringing all kinds, not knowing that we have weakened the tower. When we are saying, Lord, revive your church, we are saying, oh God, the narrow way that we have expanded to include compromisers, Lord, visit us again. I don't know who will join me in prayer tonight, but I'm trusting God that because I don't have space of time, I will just be praying that heaven will fall on your head. I pray that an indignation will rise in your spirit. This complacent heart, God will scatter it. That something will fall on you. You will pursue righteousness with all your heart. And you will cry for every wickedness that happens in the sanctuary from now on in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he announced the second issue. Said, let it begin happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. And I'm begging God that what started with great glory, what started with great strength, what started with great power of God and fear of God on everybody, let it not end as a mere reproach. Let the church not finish as a mere place. Oh my God, today as I'm talking to you, the church in Nigeria has lost the glory. Go and check how the tax man, they are taxing everything. When you say, no, but this is church, they say, church is business. Say, all these pastors, they need to pay tax. Because they are making more money than the palm sex. They should come and pay. We are saying, yeah. But could we also honestly, deny that there's a lot of matter among us? Eh? Legislation is coming. We that were supposed to rule the world is beginning to rule us. We are the ones to judge the world, but we are carrying ourselves before worldly judge. And they are pronouncing judgment over the church. And we thought it was no problem. We thought it was nothing. And you have not seen a reason to enter your closet and begin to mourn. Somebody is taking God's people, the body of Christ, is taking it to court before a worldly unbeliever and sometimes before a Muslim judge. And he has no shame. And what is the problem? I'm supposed to be general overseer. I'm supposed to be the president of... What is the meaning of this? But I'm asking, when was he born again? Did he ever die to Mr. Self? Where is the cross on his life? How did he get through and he was promoted through the rank and file and we did not see this wickedness in their hearts? Why is it that every time we want to change leadership, there must be a crisis? Why? What is the reason for that? Where is that coming from? Except that Mr. Flesh was never confronted. Or maybe it was confronted at the beginning of your life until it began to be pampered and decorated. When I say, revive your body, we are saying, oh God, look at all these issues that are weakened the sanctuary. Extract it, oh God, and visit us and do a new thing in our hearts. to a new thing in our time. So the first purpose that I'm building my church to be a tower. A tower of an example. God's plan is that the church in any community must be the highest, the most trustworthy. People should close their eyes and take anything that the church, members of the church, have said. They should believe that it is yes and yes. Jesus said, you don't need to swear. Let your yes be yes. When I see a Christian saying, to God who made me, I know he's already a liar. When every time we are talking, and you cannot make two statements without saying, and I'm talking before God, you are a liar. It means there's something you are hiding, and you just want to bamboozle us with the name of the Lord. You are a liar. You are a liar in business. You quickly say, brother, praise God, just for you, you are a liar. You have never known that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. He said, well, this is business. Now, this is business. Who told you that business has to be done as a lie? But you are also at the forefront of church services. And all your apprentices, they are just laughing. They say, well, church is just a place where we do drama. And they have settled that that's normal. What was the second thing that Jesus said? Or what king going to make war against another king? The church was set up to make war with the kingdom of darkness. That's why I will build my church. And what will happen? The gate of hell shall not prevail against it. The gate of hell. That's to tell you that God was raising a people that will establish the kingdom of God here on earth and push the devil back to where he belongs. But you know the trouble, and Jesus mentioned it. When Jesus Christ cast out a demon, and he said, well, he's using Beelzebub to cast out demons. He said, wow, a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot do what? Cannot stand. And that if Satan is divided against himself, his kingdom will have been scattered long ago. But you can never see Satan stand against any Satan. If a demon is operating here, and a demon is coming around, he will just join his brother. They will just combine. Are you hearing me? But for you, as a Christian, if you notice that most of our trouble, it is a Christian that is fighting another Christian. Eh? Talk to me now. Why is our own kingdom so divided? Why is Satan so much interested in making sure that the spirit of denominationalism will not allow us to flow together, will not allow us to know that we are brothers? And I've seen it over and over again. Go to a small campus. Go to the campus where the only reason why these students are there was to read and pass the exam. In those glorious days, we always only have one fellowship, fellowship of Christian students. It doesn't matter whether you are Baptist or anything, all of us belong there. Are you a Christian? Yes, all Christian students are meeting here. Preachers were brought who taught the word of God and didn't speak about their church. When they came, we sang songs, we worshiped God together. Nobody cared about who. We just knew we are brothers and sisters. Oh, go back now to that same campus. Huh? I don't understand. Why a pastor think it is correct for him to go and break fellowship of students and plant his own name there. And now, on those campuses, 60, 70 different groups making noise there, making noise there, making noise there, making noise there, making noise there. Until unbelievers no fear of God. So as soon as we went in and misbehaved like that, cultism has increased. Some of you don't understand. We were on campus when cultists are afraid. Kedites, Buccaneers, they cannot stand. When they see us coming, they will just do like this. They feared our prayers. They feared us when we are singing. And when we carry the word of God to confront them, oh my God. Nobody wants to be known as a member. But you know what happened. And I can tell you, when all these my brothers began to want to come to the campus to divide the fellowship of the brethren. They came in, I don't know the zeal that they had. Now, as I'm talking to you now, who can see the end of cultism on campuses now? Eh? And if that was just the issue, you go on campus now, you see all manner of terrible things in the name of fellowship. Some young men are sleeping with girls because they are in the fellowship. Some young men, they call themselves Papa. They don't intend to graduate. Because they are already collecting tithe and offering from their fellow students. This is your age mates. I went to a campus one day and I don't know whether it's one of our daughters here that came to me and said, Uncle, I said, what is this? I said, what is this? I belong to a prayer meeting and a prayer squad, and the president of our fellowship is going to do his birthday, and they ask us to, each one of us will pay this 600 naira and all of that. And she was talking to me as if it's a problem. She was really disturbed. And I'm a member of the ESCO, and if I don't, they will think I do not. I opened my mouth. I call her again. I say, you? What? Go and tell them that you are not interested. Let us see what they will do. He said, you know, they will say, I'm not part of them. I'm not supporting them. Uncle, please, please. They have intimidated a very intelligent girl. And so right now, all manner of things are going on, and many souls are getting lost. You are not even sure of what is going on in the meetings. What is the purpose why Jesus wants to raise his church? As his agency to curb the gate of hell. But unfortunately, we are beginning to understand that actually hell has shifted their gates. And they have come to the gate of the church. In fact, they have entered. They are moving in and out as they like. All kind of false and evil doctrines, doctrines of demons, they have entered our pulpits. And if some of us stands up to challenge it, oh, even the fellowship, the brethren, they will shout it. Why are you always so serious? The spirit, which spirit? I'm happy that you call it spirit. Jesus spoke of unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. Spirits that have polluted the doctrine. Spirits that have no sense of holiness. Spirits that promote pride and arrogance. These are unclean spirits. And we're going to cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. God was setting up the church as his agent for warfare against the prince of darkness. That's why it said, the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. What again was the reason why God was setting up his church? The salt is good. And he said severally, he said, you are the salt of the earth. God intends that the church will be the salt of the earth. Will be the agency that stops decay and corruption. It's so painful that it has to take someone else who himself is corrupt to be talking about corruption in our time. It pains me that it's not the church that is fighting corruption. It's so painful that even though you are talking of corruption, I look at the average church member himself. He's corrupt. He's corrupt in his dealings. He's corrupt in his speaking. He's corrupt in his activity. Do you know the extent to which corruption has come? Even in Bible schools, there's exam malpractice. Those that are training to be pastors, they are also forging results. What is the meaning of that? It is not only in the university that children and students, they are stealing and cheating. Even those who are going to become men of the clergy, they are also doing it. So where are we going? Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the donkey. But men, what do? They cast it out. You're going to pray. So when we say, revive your body, we're talking about God coming back. The body is not about this one group or the other. It's all of us. None of us can say, well, it doesn't concern me. It does. Praise the Lord. And what again is the reason, the purpose for which God is setting up his church? I want you to read one passage we read in the morning or two, and I'll repeat what we said. And by this, I will leave you till we come back tomorrow morning again. Ephesians 2. Are you there? We read from verse 18. But now I want you to carefully read from verse 19, 20, 21. But where I need to draw your attention tonight is 20, 21 and 22. Now therefore, You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into what? A holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Listen carefully to me. God wants to dwell first in your heart as his temple. I know you know about that. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know about that, isn't it? But now I want you to know that God is also building this building to become a holy temple for the habitation, of God in the Spirit. God wants to dwell in his people. He wants to dwell in each one of us individually, and together he wants to dwell, that when people come into where two or three of us are gathered together, what did he say? I am there in their midst. I don't know whether many of you have come to begin to realize that sometimes you go to a church, you go for fellowship, and though there's noise, there's everything, but there's one thing that is missing. What is it? The presence. The presence. I spoke so much about the presence yesterday, but I just wanted to focus on the presence of God upon your own life as an individual. That was my cry yesterday. But there's another dimension of divine presence that we are losing. The presence of God in the midst of his people. The presence of God in the midst of his people. That God has found an habitation among us. That we can truly say, Emmanuel, God has come to dwell among us. He said, I will dwell among you. I will walk in them. I will move in them. I will live in them. And in them, I will show forth my glory. We see that presence. And maybe because I had experienced God's presence when we enter into meetings, maybe that's why I could not relax with what I'm seeing in our time. Maybe that's why my taste has been so really, really affected by what I'm beginning to see. That you just walk in and walk out. I see so many business methodology. I see how people are moving here and there, and I say, hey, the fear of God, the presence of God is no more here. It's just an activity. Just an activity. What I appreciate, let me tell you, I appreciate our modern way of dressing nowadays. Appreciate our ushers. There are churches I've gone and the way ushers are suited up, I say, wow, they are corporates. Corporates. Smelling with all kind of perfumes. Everything well arranged. Sometimes I want to preach, not knowing that I'm not used to this kind of thing. Someone will come and stand like that. I say, what are you doing here? Please go down, go down. And then he will look at his master and say, oh, God, I say, oh, no. Stay there, stay there. If he doesn't want you to stay there. And they won't stay there. And they stand like letter I throughout. When the word of God is touching them and they really want to repent, they will remember that I'm on duty then. I really want that. This modernism that has come to us. Or maybe you think I'm primitive. But no. No, I thought that the presence of God, when it's heavy in a meeting, even if a man with an evil intention was coming, it is not this physical brother that will handle it. Angels will have been standing there. Ah! Something is lost. Ah! Was Saul, the king of Israel, not coming furiously to arrest David when David was in the fellowship where Samuel was ministering? Eh? Eh? Was he not coming with a determination to go and deal with him? But look at a few hundred meters or somewhere before he came near. Look at the presence of God. Look at how the presence of God messed him up. Look at how the king started prophesying until he began to roll on the ground and foaming in his mouth until he turned his clothes naked. But when the presence is lost, we need all these super arranged ushers and protocols and security to do everything so that as the man of God is coming, it's okay. I'm looking for something else. I'm begging that God will come down again. Yeah. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit... Don't say I'm against all of these things. I'm not. I know when there's no power, there's no vacuum in nature. Things of religious things like all those things, that's not what I don't like. What I did not like is the lack of the divine presence. I even know that this my brother that is doing all of this is because there's an emptiness in him. There is fear in his heart. He can no longer trust God. He has too much money that even robbers catch him now. God. Let them robbers come here now. They will shake me like this. There will be nothing. Is it you like this? You only have money. You have no money. Okay. Because I've not been called to make money. Do you know I was called to make men for God? And that's what I'm living for. Nothing. But if you have worldly goods, they must visit you to collect their things. But I'm not talking about that, brothers. I'm talking about the lack of presence that make a young man to chase a sister to fellowship and was able to sneak in there and do all the dancing and is able to take that sister away from the presence of God. And they go immediately after church service to go and fornicate. And he comes again, take another sister. What is it that has happened to us? Why is our God toothless now? Why is his power not shown again? Why are we more noisy and there's little of his power to arrest souls? And some of you thought that the power of God is the power of the microphone. No. 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 Let God come again. Let the Spirit of the Lord revive his people. I said God wants to have habitation among us. The church that God is building, he wants that everyone is carrying the presence of God to such a point that as two or three or four of them gathered, there's a heavy presence of God in their midst. So that whatever they decree, it comes to pass. Whatever they ask in the presence of God, it comes to pass. But can you see how powerless we have become? There are many things that our brothers are doing that I'm not criticizing them, but it's making me to cry. I can imagine now people are making a lot of activities. They invest so much money. They are talking about one day of prayer when the whole world, all brethren, all Christians, they will stand in one place and they will all shout and they will all, and they are spending millions to organize one day of event. When the Bible says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything they will ask here on earth, it shall be done. So you will decree a thing and it shall be established. Is that what the word of God says? Oh God, where is that power? Where is that authority that fell on God's people? That they prayed and prison doors were opened. Where is it? Where has it gone? Oh Lord, return to us. Oh Lord, come back to us. Come back again. Lord, turn us again and cause your face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. I'm about to ask you to join me in this cry. Where is this glory? Gideon said, where are the miracles they told us about? If God be for us, why are all these things befall us? Didn't just say, God is with you. Say, no, don't tell me that. If God is with me, is this what should be happening? And the angel looked at him and said, go in this your mind. When God finds a man who is dissatisfied with empty noise, and he's saying, Lord, I need reality or I die. When John Knox said, give me Scotland or I die, something happened. If somebody is concerned and say, God, I need reality. I don't want empty noise again. I need reality in my own life as well. I need something that is real. Even if it is not big, let it be real. If there are people here crying to God and say, Lord, reality, not noise. Do something new with my life. God is about to do it. Men will offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. That's how 1 Peter chapter 2 concludes. And I say, let me conclude with that, and you will stand with me. My prayer tonight is already overwhelming in my heart. I'm just praying that heaven will be opened over my head and your head in the name of Jesus. You also, verse 5, 1 Peter 2, 5, you also, as lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. God is looking for a body, holy priesthood, a spiritual house to offer all spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable to God even by Jesus Christ. Would you like to rise with me tonight? Would you like to say, revive your body? Do something new in my day. Revisit your church again. Flush out everything that you did not plant. Do something in our lives. I don't want you to look at pastors as if they are the problem. Oh, the problem is not just them, it's me and you. Will you stand before God tonight? And will you cry along with me? Revive thy work, O Lord. Make bare your arm. Visit us, O God, we are in deep reproach. Men are loving us to scorn. We have meetings upon meetings here and there. different groups, different ministries and organizations, and yet the glory has departed. Lord, oh God, where is the fear of God? Where, oh God, is that manifestation of your fear that made hypocrites to run away? Why have we become a mere reproach, a laughing stock? Why, oh God, we are talking here and there. We are in everything, but we are nowhere. Lord, do something new. Lord, do something new. Lord, do something in our hearts. Lord, do something here. You know, it begins with the members. It begins with the lively souls that we have gathered. People that have not said yes. They have not said yes to the Lordship of Christ. They have not said no to self. They have not known the death of the flesh. There's no cross on our lives. We can dance, we can shout, we can sing, we can do everything. But we have not experienced death to the old nature. Please cry to God with me. Are you a student from the campus? See the reproach in which we find ourselves. See how the whole house lies in ruins. See the conflict that we are in. See the generation that has taken over from us. Oh God. Oh God. Turn your eyes to us again, oh God. We beseech you, have mercy upon us. Nobody can boast of his own church. We cannot boast. We are all in reproach. Even in our midst, those of you that thought you are very strict, those of you that thought you are already on top, look at what is happening. Look at the level of wickedness and compromise, even under our own hand. Lord, have mercy on us. Do you have a reason to cry with me tonight? Lord, revive thy work, O God. Revive thy work, O God. The tower you want to build, the tower of glory, the tower of biblical example, the standard of righteousness has been cut down. Nobody looks up to the church anymore. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy upon us. Revive your body. Revive your body, O God. Rasya Rabatoro Bosiva. Mosya Ramashanda Mama Kandoro Boshiva. Estorio Loboshanda Baba. Lord, do something in our midst, O God, tonight. Set our heart, O God, on fire. O God, Rasabaraba Shanda Baba Kunduru Muskira. Oh God. Oh God. How will you be negotiating with your enemy? Because your church is not ready. Because your church is not ready. We are in disarray. We are in disarray. Lord, revive your people. The spirit of disunity that has ravaged us, Lord. Personality consciousness is my church, is my ministry, is my name. Lord, deliver us tonight. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Shikariba. O Saborobushi. Santo Robushi. Holy Spirit, please have mercy on us tonight. Lord, please have mercy on us tonight. Lord, please begin your work in this meeting tonight. Give us unquenchable hunger, a cry until something happens. A cry, oh God, until something new begins to take place in our lives. Oh God. Oh God. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy, O God, upon me tonight. Lord Jesus, do something new, Lord. Set us on fire tonight. Set us on fire, O God. Set us on fire. Let the purging fire of the Spirit come, O God. Everything that you did not plant, begin to uproot them, O God. Uproot them in the midst of your people. Let the word of life begin to penetrate into the hearts of men, O God, tonight. O God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Oh Lord. Lord, we are helpless. Lord, we cannot criticize another. We are in trouble, oh God. Our membership has been compromised. The caliber of men and women that you are supposed to have taken from the quarry, we have compromised. Lord, have mercy upon us tonight. Lord, I beg you tonight, do something new in our midst. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, tear our heart, O God. Lord, please turn your eyes upon us and turn us again. As I conclude in prayer, In Jesus' name we have prayed. Brothers and sisters, God is here. There's a cry in his heart. There's a cry in the heart of God today. There's a fresh fire that is falling again. Something is breaking forth in the midst of his people, God. Would you like to join and say, Lord, pass me not. Pass me not, Lord. In this our day of visitation, pass me not, O God. Pass me not, O God. Pass me not, O God. Pass me not by. Lord, you are doing something in this meeting already. The Holy Spirit is doing something we cannot stop. May be quiet in somewhere. May be violent with some others. Oh God, come. Come and revive your people. Father, do a new thing in this meeting. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, Karimo Shatayama Kundo Roboskira. Oh God, oh God, oh God, this night. Oh, look at the chains. Break the chains, oh God. Break the chains, oh God. Let every lukewarm heart catch fire tonight. Catch fire tonight, Lord. Let all those who are on the pulpit catch a fresh fire tonight. Lord, disturb this sleep of death, O God. This thing that has fallen upon us. Send fire, Lord. Send fire, Lord. Walk across all our congregations, all the churches. Doesn't matter what name they are called. We are all in this report together. Do a new thing in this place, Lord. How will a demon be sitting in our midst for years? And is tormenting and polluting the hearts of men. Oh Lord, arise. Oh Lord, arise. Arise tonight. Oh Lord, arise tonight. Arise tonight. Father, arise tonight. And let your enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. Let your presence descend. Let your presence, O God, descend. O Lord, revive thy work, O Lord, in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy tonight, O God. Remember also, God, visit your church in this land. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. I just feel that God is working. God is bringing the axe upon the root of every tree. That which God did not plant, it must be hewn down tonight. That which has intermingled with the purpose of God in our midst, in our lives, it must be uprooted here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a purging fire that is moving about now. The Bible calls it the overflowing scourge. It's overthrowing every seat, every seat. Where money changers are sat. Where those that came to rob us and rob you of the power of God is overturning their seat even now. And every activity that is not congruent with the will of God, they are being upturned tonight. Oh Spirit, have your way. Oh my Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. And while we are praying tonight, the Spirit and the presence of God will do beyond what we could imagine or think. Dismantle everything that He did not plan. I'd like to pray finally. I can't stop what the Spirit is doing in your heart now. We can't stop this. A fresh fire is coming. It's unstoppable and it's unquenchable. Every form of worldliness, every hypocrisy, every secret thing, some of the entanglement that some of us are in, God is coming to shake it out. He's coming to correct it. How will you be trapped inside the midst of God's people and you are still going to be lost? God forbid. Father, please walk in our midst tonight. The steering that you are steering different hearts, keep it on, O God. Throughout this night, throughout the day, set us ablaze. Ananias had to die because he was not the one who volunteered the truth. He was lying to the Holy Ghost. He was pretending to be something else. And the Spirit can no longer tolerate that. And he had to yield up the ghost. I want us to pray together tonight. I don't think God wants to condemn you if you will open up your heart and say, Lord, it is true that I've been hiding. It is true that I've been an hypocrite. It is true that I've not walked well. It is true that my life is not exactly what I say it was on the outside. Lord, but tonight, I don't want to go home still struggling. Bring the axe on the root of this problem tonight and set me free. I don't want to be lost in the midst of your people. Tonight, help my life. As I pray this time of prayer, where are you? And you are saying, Lord, even though everything was said, but I know that I don't have assurance that my life is right. I have been trapped inside, but I know I'm not a lively stone. There's no life that is bubbling in my heart. I'm just there. Lord, quicken my heart tonight. Change my story. While we are going to pray this final prayer, should the Spirit of God urge you tonight and say, just go and surrender to God. Just go and make things right. It's the time of divine visitation. Let God not pass you by. It's the time God is having mercy on people. Have you cheated even on the altar? Have you been involved in the kind of thing that mouth ought not to say? But you know that the presence of God has come, you can't hide it. Can I request you to just walk before God? Come to this altar and let's call on God together. Let's do it as men that are obedient to the word of life. Let's do it as men who feared God and who will not dare to resist the voice of the Spirit. So if you hear His voice tonight, harden not your heart. As we take this final prayer, Lord, oh my God, Have your way in my life. Every day there is no rest, there is no peace, until the Lord has his way. I lay my life in your hands, rest secure in your plans. Oh my God, oh my God, have your way. As we do that song, you need to make things right with God tonight. You need just to say, Lord, don't let me go from here. Don't let my life struggle again. Just walk out quickly. And just say, Lord, Lord, have your way with me. Please, brother, just move. Today is a day God has determined that whatever the enemy has done, he is going to uproot it. It's ending a matter. Thank you, my dear sister. You can come close. Just get to where you can kneel down before God. Thank you, dear young lady. Things that men don't expect that will be happening even on the altar has been happening to you. Things that people don't expect, they're the issues that have struggled with your life. Oh my God, tonight have your way. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life. From today, there's no rest, there is no peace until the Lord. Brothers, you are coming, just step out quickly. Just come, young lady, just come out. Just come out. Just come out and make it right with God tonight. Thank you. Just come and make it right with God tonight. Just step out and say, God, you have a plan for me. But see how the enemy is trying to cripple me. See how sin is trying to cut me short. You spoke about what you will do with my life. But see where I'm trapped. Tonight, Lord, have your way with me. Just do something new with my life. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you, dear. Thank you, my dear brother. Just come set up with God. The Lord knew that you are here. And he decided to come your way. He decided to knock on your door and say, my son, tonight is your night. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Did you hear God saying, give me your heart, I will set you free. I will release you, I will change your story. Give me your heart. Is there still someone who is in between? And you're saying, maybe it's not now. If not now, when? Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Just run down. Run down, dear sister. Just run down. Young man. Oh, if not now, when? When? When will you make it right? How long are you going to be in between? How long will Satan continue to fill your heart? How long will you recognize that you cannot hide it from God? God has exercised so great a patience to help you. How long will it be for you to say yes to the Lord? Please stretch out your hand wherever you are and say, oh my God, have your way. Lord, have your way with me tonight. Have your way with me tonight. My friend, thank you. Lord, have your way with me tonight. Let this matter be settled with me tonight. If you will be hot, you have to be hot. If you want to be cold, then you go away. But for you to be in between, lukewarm, God is not interested. God bless you tonight. I pray for you. Is there someone who needs to make this decision tonight? Say, God, set my life ablaze. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Please come down. Young lady, just kneel down and say, God, don't let me be late in stepping into your purpose for my life. Young man, oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you said in your word, whosoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. That if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. But those who cover their sins shall not prosper. It shall not be well to the wicked. Say ye to the wicked, it shall not be well with him. And who is the wicked? The wicked is that man who is willfully committing sin and hiding it. The wicked is that lady who is pretending to be righteous when the inside is full of shame. The wicked is that preacher who uses even good words to conceal his own inside rottenness. They say ye to the wicked, it shall not be well with him. For he will begin to leave the work of his own hands. Tonight, Father, you do not want the death of the wicked. You have given us the opportunity to make our lives right. As many as are kneeling before you tonight, have mercy upon us. I'm asking, oh God, that tonight you will step into this matter. The battle over their soul, you devil, you will lose that battle tonight in the name of Jesus. Every secret thing we expose, we flush you out in the name of Jesus. Father, you are the one who is able to save to the uttermost. All those who come to God by your hand, you are able to save to the uttermost. Make your face to shine upon these ones. So they shall be saved. They shall be delivered. They shall be set free. In the name of Jesus. Father, from tonight, create in these ones a new heart. Renew a right spirit within them. Lord, by your supernatural means, the way you used to walk, you say, a new heart will I give you, and will take away from you the heart of stone. Do that surgery right away. That from this night, they cannot remain the same again. Whatever it was that has followed them up till now, I command it to stop. Go back in the name of Jesus. From this night, sin will no longer appeal to your heart. The power of the Almighty God will overshadow you. A newness of life will spring forth in your heart. From this night. Now, and as you kneel before God, every bondage around you, every work of Satan, did he manifest in sickness or an unclean spirit? We bind and cast out in the name of Jesus. The things that the devil had used to oppress you, from this night, you release in the name of Jesus. From this night, some of you have unsatiable desire for immorality. This evening, by the hand of God, we cut it out in the name of Jesus. You will live, you will not die again. As you rise from here, you are rising into newness of experience. When on the road to Damascus, you encounter Saul. That was a turnaround. This meeting will be a turnaround. Lord, I just want to hold your hand that you will sanctify these lives. You will set them ablaze in the name of Jesus Christ. The power to go and sin no more, release it to them now. Some used to experience the fire before. Everything scattered. Tonight, Lord, I just stand pleading with you. Let there be a restoration. As they cry tonight, let there be a restoration. The brokenness that has come upon you tonight, it shall lead unto a newness. For a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. The Lord will turn his eyes upon you. The Lord's presence will visit you afresh. And all objects of sin, all objects of compromise all around your life, we pack them aside in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for this entire congregation, walk in this meeting. Set our heart on fire. Lord, as we cry today, take away our reproach. There are several believers that they are in reproach, even in their own house. The people are asking, what is the benefit of your being a Christian here? Tonight, Lord, turn this reproach. Take away reproach from your people. Lord, remember our cry for your church. All those who sneaked in and did not have any contact, encounter with the man of Calvary, fish them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be an outpouring of the Spirit of God that leads men to genuine conviction and repentance. Do a new thing from tonight. Even if there be anyone who sat in this meeting and his heart is not right with you, how can he go and rest? It's a hard thing for a man to kick against the pricks. Such men, tonight, they are in a battle with heaven. And until they say yes to you, how can there be peace for the wicked? Tonight, Lord, I'm asking all such souls that are trapped here, fish them out, O God. But give them an opportunity not to miss their time of visitation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You are in my heart, desire.